Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us now in our advanced program for the last lesson of this month. Welcome, everyone, to our advanced program. And your favorite teachers are here today. One of them is Naomi. Hello, Naomi.
Hi, Doris. I think you're probably everyone's favorite teacher, but I do love our students, and I know they enjoy listening to us, too. It's always great to be here in the studio.
And another teacher that they always think is kind of funny is Bill, because he likes to laugh a lot.
Yes, I do. I just enjoy my work, enjoy life, so I'm happy to be here, Doris.
Well, do you enjoy sports?
Love sports.
I thought you did. That's why you're on this program.
Yeah.
I am fairly active. You know, I do a lot of biking and hiking and swimming, but I'm not usually so interested in competitive sports. I find a lot of them are quite violent, and that's something we've talked about a little bit, that some sports can be quite dangerous, like even something like football. But one of the sports that we're talking about today is not really a dangerous one at all. It's mostly a game of skill.
Well, it's called table tennis, but I just usually call it ping pong. I like to play ping pong. What do you call it, Bill?
You know, I grew up calling it ping pong. Yeah, in America, we called it ping pong. We called it table tennis also. But we had a ping pong table down in our garage, and my brother and I would play ping pong quite often, and I loved it. I just loved playing ping pong.
Well, I think table tennis sounds a little bit more like a real sport, you know, with tennis and table tennis. Ping pong doesn't really sound that official, but I think a lot of us grew up calling it ping pong.
Ping pong sounds a little more like a game and a little less like a sport, but it is a sport, an official sport. Doris, did you grow up playing it as well?
Oh, yes. I used to play that all the time. We had a ping pong table, too, and my brothers always liked to try to beat me. They were very competitive.
Mm. Yeah, you know, that is actually the official name of it. Table tennis. I was looking at rankings, and the association is the International Table Tennis Association. It's not the International Ping Pong Association.
I know, but I think they used to call it ping pong more. And still people say, let's have a game of ping pong.
Definitely.
Now, when you played your brothers, did you beat them?
Sometimes, and they never liked it if I beat them, but you know.
I don't think
it was difficult.
I've played ping pong quite a bit, but I don't think I've ever won a game. I'm not very good at it.
Be careful about putting her on your team if we have a game, Bill. But maybe
I'll be careful. I'm picturing you. I can imagine you would be pretty intense with a paddle in your hand, ready for the game.
But, you know, sometimes you can play with two people against two, and that gives you a little more advantage, too.
Gets a little crowded.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out more about it, but we're going to talk about it as table tennis, but every now and then we might kind of reverse and say ping pong. Who knows?
That's true. But it is an official sport, and officially it is called table tennis, and I actually didn't realize that it was an Olympic sport. You know, the qualifications for what makes something an Olympic sport, they change, and sometimes a sport will be added, one will be deleted from the Olympic events. And so this one is an official sport, and we have an official star that we're focusing on today.
Right, a Chinese-American girl, Ariel Xing, table tennis's rising star. Rising star means she's coming up as far as being well-known.
Right, up and coming would be another term that we would use to describe her. And she's a young lady who, you know, it's amazing the success some of these young athletes have. She's, you know, 16 years old, and it's just remarkable that travels the world playing ping pong or table tennis.
Well, open your magazines, if you have them, to page 42 to find out more about this young woman. It says she is an elite athlete in a low-profile sport. That says a lot.
It does. If we call someone elite, it means they are at the top. They are the best. It's almost like they're exclusive. They're something special. And so she is a very special and very talented athlete in a sport that is low profile.
Right. You know, high profile might be basketball, right? We all see
soccer.
NBA basketball, soccer,
baseball.
English Premier League, baseball, those American football, things like that.
Team
they get
sports.
All the attention, mm-hmm. they get all the money. But there are many, many excellent athletes who participate in these sports that we seldom see on television.
And low profile means it's not noticed as much.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. People overlook these sports because they pay attention to those big, you know, fancy ones that Bill was just mentioning. But this is a game of skill for sure.
So we better start by finding out more about this rising star. And we're going to read the first section of our magazine, the first column and the second column down through line 10.
Ariel Singh, table tennis's rising star. This young woman is an elite athlete in a low-profile sport. The day begins around 7 a.m. at the back of the house, in a room outfitted with rows of fluorescent lights, a ping-pong table, and little else. This is where Ariel Singh comes to practice alone. She starts by crouching silently at one end of the table, then springs up and, with a flick of her paddle, sends a serve whizzing across the net. The 16-year-old repeats this motion hundreds of times, the balls collecting against a far wall. She must concentrate on hitting with maximum spin, but other thoughts occasionally creep in. Thoughts of pre-calculus and English composition. "That's when I step back from the table," she says. "I try to calm down." Life can get complicated for a girl who falls in love with and becomes very good at a sport not many people care about in this country. If she lived in Europe or Asia, she might be enrolled in a sports academy, training full-time and looking forward to a pro career. But the United States has no such academies for table tennis. "The options in North America are not so good," a national coach says. Ariel must think about a future beyond the game.
So we're picking up on page 42 of your July Advanced magazine, discussing Ariel Singh, who is table tennis's rising star. And we introduce this article, we begin with our first paragraph, kind of setting a scene. We're illustrating what's going on in her life.
Right, and it starts early. Her day begins around 7 a.m., and she's at the back of the house in a special room.
Well, a lot of people get up and exercise. I see a lot of our studio classroom teachers jogging even at 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not really early, but a bit early.
It's a bit early, especially, I think, for someone of this age. Mm-hmm. Most kids try to sleep in as late as they can. And so she gets up at 7 a.m. She's in this special room, as Bill said, and it is a room that is outfitted with rows of fluorescent lights, a ping pong table, and little else. So there's a few good words in there. First of all, if a room is outfitted, it sounds kind of funny because usually when we hear that word outfit,
think
we think
people.
People wearing an outfit, wearing a set of clothes. But a room can also be outfitted, means it's equipped with certain things.
I would usually say decorated with, mm-hmm. you know, when you decorate, that's to make it look prettier. But in this sense, they're trying to make it look more than just a decoration, but something useful. So they're saying outfitted.
Yeah, I mean, normally we got specific equipment there or something that is functional for particular purpose. And it's also got these fluorescent lights. Those, of course, are the bright white lights that we would see, for instance, in an office or a hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they are in Chinese, Bill. And a ping pong table and not much else. In other words, here is a ping pong room, a practice room for ping pong.
Well, I could see where there would be little else there because when you've got the ping pong table there, you actually need a lot of space around the table because the players will be moving around quite a bit. You can't have chairs and couches and TVs in there. There's no point in doing that.
Well, you know, Bill, in a lot of homes in America, especially up in the Seattle area, everybody has basements.
Right.
And sometimes they will put a ping pong table in the basement, or guys like to play pool. They say shoot pool. They have a pool table or some kind of a recreational thing will often be in the basement. But in California, they don't always have as many basements in their houses as they do up in the northern part.
Well, in the northern parts, a lot of homes do have a solid basement as a foundation, and often those basements are not outfitted with much either. They tend to be a little bit basic, and so they are a good place for this kind of activity where there's less furniture, you know, less carpeting, and so often people will play some kind of sports or games in their basements.
Right, and they'll put some of their golf clubs and their sports equipment in the basement too.
Exactly.
But she has a special room in her house, so probably they don't have a basement in her house. Mm. But this is where she comes to practice, where Ariel Shing comes to practice by herself. Now, how can you practice by yourself?
Mm. Well, you can do a lot of things as far as practicing your swing, your technique, and that's actually what she is doing. She is working on her serves, we find out in this paragraph.
Right. In this paragraph, we continue by explaining how she begins. And I'm wondering, too, how she's able to play by herself, but we're not there yet. She says she starts by crouching silently at one end of the table, then springs up. And I love that imagery because she almost sounds like a tiger, you know? She's crouching down. She's leaning down, and she springs up. She jumps up lightly to start practicing.
Crouching tiger, ping pong star.
Yeah, exactly.
But then she sends the ball very quickly, just whizzing like the noise whoosh, across the net. Mm-hmm. But what's at the other side of the net?
Well, what she's at the other side of the net, there's a wall that's collecting these ping pong balls that she is sending whizzing across the net. So that whoosh, those things going over there. And she just keeps repeating this. She keeps doing this
she's
a lot.
Practicing her serves, what she's practicing.
Mm-hmm. Well, she has to work on the serve. You have to get the serve. It's the most important shot.
Right.
Of the
if
game.
You serve
so you
a kind of
right.
a curved fast ball, nobody can hit it back.
Right.
Right. So actually in this case, a wall is a good thing to practice with. She doesn't really need another player because she's practicing that serve.
Well, people do that sometimes in tennis too. Mm-hmm. They'll practice mm-hmm. just shooting balls.
Well, in baseball as well. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of people like to go to the batting
right.
cages for fun and then you're not playing against anyone. You're just practicing that swing.
So she's concentrating on her game. But while she's doing that, she wants to, you know, hit the ball and make it spin as much as it can so the other people can't send it back to her. So that's what she's practicing. But mm-hmm. while she's practicing, she starts to think of a few other things. When the thoughts creep in, well, she's still kind of got her mind on other things that are going to happen very soon, like going to school.
Pre-calculus and English composition we see in line 17. So she's thinking about her homework and her studies and her tests at school.
And I completely understand this feeling. When you try to concentrate on one thing, it often happens to us that other thoughts creep in. Other ideas sneak into your head and distract you from what you're trying to focus on.
So instead of getting all these fast balls, all of a sudden she tries to calm down and think, oh, yes, I still have to do my English. And she starts thinking about the rest of her life, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. And she tries to calm down by stepping away from the table. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if most people realize this, but in sports, you really need 100% concentration on what you are trying to do. If not, it's not going to be good.
Bill, you're supposed to do that when you do your school and your calculus. I need 100%, you know, concentration if I'm going to do calculus too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Whatever you
do. Yeah, that's true.
You have to put your mind on different things. But life can get very complicated for this girl. And it can be complicated for anybody when they're a teenager to get right down to it.
Definitely. And I think she has a lot of the issues that are common to every kid her age, which is you're trying to focus on a lot of things. You're figuring out who you are. You just have a lot of stress. But there's something special about her case, and it explains it here. She has fallen in love with a sport. And I love that idea of falling in love with something. It gives us the impression that she has a lot of passion for ping pong.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not uncommon. People do really get involved in sports in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I know I used to play tennis every day after school, and you could hardly wait for that time. And you get sort of involved in sports
and
in high school.
Yeah, and of course that means you improve. You become very good at these sports. But what's special about this sport, of course, is that it is low profile.
Yeah, we see here that she's become very good at this sport. But unfortunately, in America, not many people care about it.
Well,
again,
they play
it's low
it for
profile.
Fun, though, Bill. Yeah, but they're not like a serious thing. But
right.
people still play ping pong just for fun, just like they shoot baskets in the backyard. And these things are just casual sports.
Again, I think a lot of people think of ping pong as more of a game and less of a sport. And
right.
So when someone is excelling at something that people consider to be a game, they don't take it very seriously.
We might also call it a recreation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something what most people just do for fun.
Yeah. But, you know, the next part goes on to say in the second column that if she lived in Europe or even in Asia, it might be different. What would it be like maybe if she lived in Asia?
Well, she might be enrolled in a sports academy, training full time and looking forward to a pro career.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, teenagers her age in Europe and Asia, who are excellent athletes in their sports, they don't attend regular schools. They actually attend these special schools where they spend most of their day practicing their sport.
But they don't do that so much in the U.S. They want you to get a good overall education. That's what they encourage young people to do.
That's true, but I will say that in the United States, there is a lot of focus on some sports, and there's a lot of emphasis at different schools on sports like basketball and football, but that doesn't carry over to something like table tennis.
But even those sports, the teachers say, okay, when you're in school, you get your schoolwork done, and they're done during different periods or after school, so they don't really just go to some school that does football. I mean,
true.
We don't go
mm-hmm.
into that in the
mm-hmm.
States. Mm-hmm. They try to give you a good overall.
That's absolutely true. But the programs that they do have in place don't usually include this sport.
Right. So the options or the choices in North America are not quite as good as they might be. And so she has to think about the future, though, beyond the game. She can't just play table tennis all her life.
Yeah, that's true. And that's actually what we're going to get into here as far as how she balances this out.
And don't you think that that's very important for all students, though, in high school, that they shouldn't concentrate too much on one thing yet? Because they do need to get the whole overall education.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think it's very important to have a well-rounded education. In other words, you study all the different topics. You become at least a little bit familiar with different things so that you can understand yourself better and where your strengths are. For Ariel especially, you know, a lot of athletes can become professionals and then make a career out of it. But if you're in table tennis, there are fewer choices. There's not as many coaching positions once you're done playing and so on.
But even if you're going to be a professional in some other sport, you still have to think about your overall education. You need to be well educated. And this is true whether it's people like Jeremy Lin playing and all. They still had to pay attention to their other courses. And I think all athletes face this.
I think it's important for everybody to realize this, athletes, parents, everybody to realize the number of people that actually can make a living playing professional sports is minuscule. You know, we see Jeremy Lin or we see David Beckham playing sports.
Let's back up a minute. What did you say, minuscule?
Minuscule.
That's a pretty big word.
Minuscule. Tiny. It's,
okay.
it's so tiny. And so we can really get misled by athletic support and financial success when we see stars. We see Jeremy Lin. There's 10,000 other guys that never made it to that point. And if they did not focus on their schooling, then they're really going to be lost later in life.
But Bill, that's true with anything. People like to act. They want to be an actress, and they might go to Hollywood and New York, but they still need to focus on their whole overall education because they're not all going to be stars.
Right.
Whatever you do, you need to get a good general education, don't you?
Absolutely, that's true. And so we'll learn about how Ariel is trying to find that balance in her life in our next reading.
Leading a double life. So this cheerful teenager divides her time between training and high school. Grades are important because she hopes to get into Stanford or Harvard. That means waking up early, staying up late, and constantly shifting her attention from twisting serves to stacks of homework due for honors math class. It can be tough, she says. You have to lead a double life. When their only child began playing seriously, the Singhs set aside a spare bedroom for live-in coaches. Talented players they brought over from China and added the practice space in back. After morning drills, Ariel attends school until 1 p.m., then heads for afternoon training sessions.
Usually when we think of leading a double life, we think of somebody who is doing two things. Maybe they don't, nobody knows they're doing the other thing. But here this just means being involved in two things that take a lot of time.
Right. Often when we hear that term, we think of something a little bit dishonest or negative. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if someone is a lawyer by day and a jazz singer by night, they're leading a double life. Right.
Right.
So, but in this case, for a teenager to be living a double life, in this case, it's not negative at all. It's just that she's very, very busy.
But I noticed that she still has a good attitude on life. So her parents are probably a big help to her. It says she's a cheerful teenager. So she's not really heavy in this. She's just saying, well, this is what I do at school. This is what I do in my table tennis time.
You know, that's really important. In fact, last month, we actually talked about the importance of happiness and success later in life. So happy teens are actually leads to greater success in later in life. And it looks like Ariel Singh is well along her way. She's happy, and she's able to balance her athletics and her academics.
Well, grades are very important to her. And I think it's not only grades, but what you learn in working with other people in school and getting along. It's not just your own grades, but the other social skills that you need to learn besides just being by yourself in your sport.
Right. It sounds like her motivation is very much academic. She wants to get into Stanford or Harvard, and those are top schools, and so she's really working hard to have good grades. But I think that focusing on school as well as her training helps her to have that balance.
And, of course, she has to get up early to do that. And sometimes she has to stay up late because she has to have her attention shifted back and forth
Right. Between
the two.
She's shifting her attention from twisting serves, which are the serves that she was practicing there early in the morning, to the stacks of homework due for honors math class. So she's got piles of books on her desk, and she's working late at night.
That's good. She's learning how to cope with life and to handle different situations. And I think with her parents' help, she's doing a good job.
Right. When I think of shifting, I think of driving a car, actually. You shift into different gears. And so you're in sort of a different mode every time you shift. So she goes between tennis mode to homework mode. And when we talk about honors math class, that means that it's an advanced math class. She's taking the harder option.
And it can be difficult. She says tough, which just means difficult. And you have to lead a double life. Now I'm doing this and now I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people have to do that. You know, even young people who sometimes work and go to school, they lead a double life. So in a sense, a lot of kids have to handle that.
Yeah, it's just a matter. You have to balance the two if you're interested in succeeding in both of them. So it's interesting how we find out, you know, then how she got started in this.
Well, and you find out that she's an only child, so she doesn't have to worry about doing things with her brothers and sisters, you know.
That's true.
But when maybe if she had brothers and sisters, they'd be playing with her. I think they'd be playing ping pong with her.
Probably. But when their only child began playing seriously, this means that her parents could really put a lot of focus on what she wanted, what her needs were. And so they didn't have to worry about, is this fair to her brothers and sisters? They could just do what made the most sense for Ariel.
I thought it was interesting that they put aside a spare bedroom that they had for live-in coaches. I mean, when a coach comes, then they stay at their house. So they're really serious about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, the coaches actually were staying there in the house so the coach could get up, I'm assuming, early in the morning and work with her.
We don't see that term live-in used this way very often. So live-in coaches in this case means that they stay overnight and eat with the family, you know, hang out there. We sometimes hear about a live-in housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you would have a lady who came once a week to help you clean your house, or maybe you would have someone who stayed with you full time.
Live-in nanny live-in. Or something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, some of her coaches, they're very talented players, and they came from China because this is a big sport in China, and they bring them over there, and that adds to the practice space, you know, in the back. They have to get up and have the morning drills.
Right, so the coaches can start early in the day with Ariel.
Right. We mentioned that practice room earlier. That was where we started off this article. And so it says that her parents actually added that practice space in back. That means they put an addition on their house. They made a change to their house so that they could have that space for her.
And then she goes to school till about 1. Now, that might seem strange to people here in Asia because sometimes they go to school longer than that. But most American kids get out of school about 3.
Right.
actually.
Well, so what she's doing is, so she's getting up, she's starting around 7 a.m., and my guess is she's putting in about an hour of practice till about 8 a.m., and then she's got to head off to school. And her schedule actually is a little bit special. Mm-hmm. We'll find out a little bit later in our article in the next couple of days. The other students at her school probably attend classes till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
3 o'clock.
Ariel still has a different schedule, especially arranged for her.
You know, kids, when they go to school, they also have recess time and they have study room time. So she just has classes. She doesn't have those extra times to study at school. She has to do it at home.
Right. It sounds to me like they must have made some special arrangements with her schedule, mm-hmm. with her school to allow this. But I'm sure she's getting her full education in still.
She is, right. Yeah. And she has her afternoon training sessions. Whereas if you're doing sports like maybe football, they also have afternoon sessions when they play. So this is what a common thing with athletes.
Definitely. And even if kids are in school all the way to 3 o'clock or later, they'll often have after-school practice for other sports.
Right. Well, it's a good introduction to this. We're going to find out a little bit more about how she's doing and how she practices and manages her life. But it's a very interesting story because this is an Asian young woman who was born in America, and she's making it good. She's a very elite athlete, so I'm sure everybody's going to be interested in knowing more about her life.
And I think a lot of our listeners can identify with this because I know table tennis is very popular around here. So I recommend that everybody come on back for the next couple days.
I'm excited to hear more about her family's history as well tomorrow.
So come back tomorrow. Have a great day today, everyone. Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye.